This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, which means you're listening to me, Deb Wolf. And today, I'm going to cover some topics that are a little bit unusual, I think. I talked about a leatherback turtle the other day, last couple shows ago. It's pretty amazing migration, all the way from Indonesia to the western northern tip of Canada, so west of Alaska. This island out there, this series of islands, the Haida Gwaii Islands. It used to be called the Queen Charlotte Islands, if you're looking at an old map. But this turtle was spotted just moseying along, as they do, swimming, coming to lay her eggs, most likely, and then return to Indonesia. And it's been protected, which is pretty amazing, because it's not a Canadian animal, and yet it's a reptile from Indonesia, but it's on our protected list because it's so critical and so important to this turtle that it be able to travel all that way and be safe. But one thing that was a little bit sad about the story was that the reason the turtle needs to be protected is, of course, because of us, and their numbers are so low, and that's because of plastic. So 30% of the turtles found when they're found dead have plastic in their intestines, which is a high number, 30% of them, and it kills them. So we really got to clean up that plastic. But it's pretty amazing to think that a turtle could be so adapted that it could survive in the hot waters of Indonesia and travel all that way and thrive in cool waters here. I mean, it's incredible, incredible story. So I just wanted to highlight that again. Now, sometimes there's a wacky story in the news from another place that I just love. And this one comes out of Boston. So there's a bike path in Boston where the people have decided that they're going to decorate this path with signs for this election for mayor. Only the reason it's making my pet show news is because they're proposing they elect a cat as the mayor. And so the cat's in the running. There's an orange cat with the Catalyst Party. There's Freya with the Calm Meowness Party. There's Re-elect Barry, Make Cats Outside Again. That's Barry. He's a feisty one. Then there's Claudia. She's from the Indoor Cat Party. And there's an unlikely to win duo entered. They're pretty much not going to win. But they're two dogs, two squish face, cute little puggy type dogs, bulldoggy, puggy cross type dogs, dog duo, not going to win. But it's believed that Barry will take the election again and become mayor of the bike path once more. But some people really want a cat named Somervale. So we'll see what will happen in this heated election. I'm sure families are quarreling. And it's probably pretty intense over there. And hopefully nobody's rigging any ballots. So we're going to go to break and come back and talk more about animals on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back at Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And we talked about turtles and we talked about cats. So what next? Well, I do want to talk to you about ostriches. Okay, come on. I know ostriches aren't normally pets. Emus are pets sometimes. And actually, I have some emu stories myself to give you. Probably most of you have never encountered an emu. The only emu you may have seen might be on those commercials for the insurance company, which I actually love. I gotta say, shout out to that company, Liberty Insurance, because they were doing those commercials with that emu and then they tried to phase him out. And I think the public must have said something because the emu is back. And I find it so funny because if you've ever been around an emu, you know how difficult they are. I can't get over how well trained this thing is. And the jokes about the emu are always right on the money. Like, you know, the guy and the emu find themselves in a car, stuck in a pond, and they need help, obviously, insurance help. And the emu jumps out of the car into the pond and starts fishing. Like, it's perfectly in sync with what the animal would actually do. I just love this. I love these two. Anyway, so ostriches, not emus. Ostriches are bigger, and they don't bury their heads in sand like people think when they're in trouble. They don't just do that and then get taken. That's not real. But anyway, ostriches are very, very large birds, and there are industries developed with them. And there's a farm here in Canada that has been having a big fight with the Canadian government because they don't want to kill their birds. Now, there was bird flu, and the government's really, really coming down on that, being extra careful, meticulous, vigilant, not like they usually are, much more heavy-handed than they usually are. So they are really trying to make this ostrich farm get rid of all of their birds, cull them, which is a fancy word for kill them. So they want them to kill all their birds. But the ostrich farm has filed courts, you know, suits, and they've gone back and forth a whole bunch, and it went one way, and then it went another, and now it's on appeal. So we're waiting to hear what the court will decide. But the farmers say the avian flu came through their farm, killed some birds, and left. And it's over now. And the survivors are all birds that should be studied and, in fact, are being studied, perhaps to create a cure, to create a solution. Because this flock should have been decimated. The whole thing should have been killed by the avian flu, and yet they weren't. So some of them survived. Many of them survived. And why is that? If we kill all those birds, we'll never know. We'll never know why they survived, how we can work with that to make us survive, right? Like, this is pretty important. So I'm all for them continuing the research. And I hope that the authorities think big picture on this one, not small picture. So yeah, I guess that's another in our Would I Lie to You series. Would I lie to you? Yeah, they would. They would lie to us. They would say it's safer to kill all these birds that survived avian flu than to keep them alive and study them. And that would be a lie. So I just wanted to bring that up. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay, so what else have we got in the news? Well, in Cincinnati Reds game, you know how sometimes they get some celebrity to throw the first pitch? Mm-hmm. Or do something fun like that. Well, they decided they would have a ceremonial first pitch and a retriever bring the ball back to the mound. That was going to be the deal, right? Get the cameras, get a little dog moment, have the dog catch the ball, bring it back, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, that sounds great. Except they didn't pick the right dog. They picked a little dog who liked the attention. And guess what that dog did? Oh, yeah. That dog ran and grabbed the ball. Mm-hmm, you know it. And then, keep away. You can't catch me. While the stadium waited for the Cincinnati Reds game to start, the cameras waited, the commercials waited, the public waited, the players waited, everybody waited while this little dog ran around, this ran as fast as it could. Time of its life, ears flopping in the wind, big grin, posture telling me it's having a great old time, not afraid of anyone, just having the best chase game ever. So be careful who you cast in these dog moments. Make sure you've got a real fetch-obsessed retriever or border collie who literally never, ever, ever fails before you do this. And since we're talking about this, I may as well tell you about the two-ball drop trick that I have. If you've got a dog that plays keep away, that's not the game, okay? Because your arm, even if you're fit, even if you love to play sports, your arm is never going to tire out that dog. One arm, four legs. You can do that math. It's not going to work. If your dog is a fetcher and he needs or she needs that run, you cannot exercise them well enough with your puny little human arm and the ability to throw with that. Come on now. Even if you throw really far, it's still not enough. It's not. You need something else. So you need to throw with one of those throw stick things, something made for it, hit the ball with a tennis racket, something like that. Or you could do the two ball drop trick. Because with the two ball drop trick, there is no keep away. There is none of this downtime. Your dog is running and running and running and running. Now, I would suggest you bring three balls for the two ball drop trick. One ball you keep super clean in your pocket and you don't let the dog slobber on it and you don't let it roll in muck or whatever else is in the park. That's your ball. Okay. Now you have two balls in play and you can put one in your pocket as well or hold it. You throw game ball, and the dog, you say, go get it, and off he goes, ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. He gets the ball, ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. He comes back to show it to you. Now, usually, the keep-away dogs, the hog dogs, the dogs who don't want to share and don't want to fetch and don't like the rules, they will come almost to you, close enough to you where they're sure you can see it. That's what they do. So they come running back, and then they hold their head up really high, and sometimes they even chew on the ball just to tease you. Look at it, look at it, look at my ball, look at my ball. Okay, you know the dog, you know what I'm talking about. They come up almost to you, you even think they're gonna come to you. Maybe he'll drop it this time. Nope, just before he gets to where you could grab him, he stops, he turns around, maybe he jumps in the air, maybe he does a little jig, who knows, but he'll be off again. And then he'll come back a little bit and off again and back and forth and back and forth until you're irritated. You're no longer enjoying fetch. And truthfully, he's not getting the same workout anymore. He's dancing a little bit, but he's not running full out. He's not. He's no longer getting a workout. He's just goofing around, right? Like the person who goes to the gym and talks the whole time. He's not getting a good workout. So what do you do? Well, as soon as he does that and he comes running back and he tilts his head up and he looks at you and says, looky, look, I got the ball. That's when you pull out the second ball and you show him, oh, no, I believe you're mistaken, dog. I, the human, I have the ball. And you act like you love your ball. Maybe you throw it up a little bit and catch it a couple inches. Maybe you pass it from one hand to the other. Maybe you roll it around in your hands like you're making it into a loaf of bread. Maybe you play with it, rolling it along your arm. Maybe you just look at it. It doesn't matter what you do. You just show him that you're fascinated by your ball. And what you'll find is your dog will look at you dumbfoundedly the first time, shocked. I have the wrong ball. He's thinking, oh, no. And he'll drop his ball. He'll drop his ball and he'll stare at you. And that's when, this is the key part here, you don't throw your ball yet, right? You've got two game balls. You've got the clean one in your pocket. Okay, he's dropped his ball. What I do then is I hold my ball quite high in the air as if you're trying to hold it out of reach of the kid. You sort of hold it up and high so he's looking at it. And then with my other hand, I grab the ball he just dropped. Now, normally, I can put my ball back in my pocket. It stays clean. I pick up the same one he's been playing with, and I say, good boy. Okay, sit. Good boy. Okay, go. Now he's released from the sit, and he's allowed to go, and I throw it. And we do the whole thing again. So he brings the ball. I show him mine. He drops his. I grab his. I put mine away, and I throw his again and do it over and over and over. But why do I have a third ball? Well, that's in case I mess up. In case my timing isn't quite right and he ends up with two balls, I need an extra one because some of these dogs are really smart at keep away. So you always need an extra one in case you lose one in the game. All right, we're going to go to break and come back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. And one thing I noticed was really cool. I noticed this big dog party in Spain. And basically what's happened is it's 40 to 45 degrees there. Okay, what's that in Fahrenheit? 120, I think? Well, you can Google it. Super hot, okay? Hotter than you want it to be. Hot so pavement melts. Hot so you can't stay outside. Hot so people are in trouble. Hot so animals are in trouble. Hot so you need shade all the time for your dogs. So you need water all the time. You gotta really avoid high energy exercise. Hot, 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 right? Fires sparking up. Problem heat, 40 to 45 degrees. Oh my gosh, 42 is their average. So in Spain, that's happening. And yeah, sure, lots of people live near the ocean, but lots of people don't. So what they've done is they've made a ginormous, gigantic, enormous dog water park, which is pretty incredible. And if you see the footage, oh my, I want to jump in the water with these dogs. Although, you know, that always sounds like a good idea, but they do scratch you. Because when they swim dog paddle, it's inevitable that you get a little bit scratched up by the dogs. So I guess if I jumped in there, I'd have to be wearing a t-shirt. But boy, would that be fun. And that's probably a good tip. If you do want to swim with a dog who loves to swim, maybe put on a t-shirt first. Because they don't mean to scratch you, but they probably will. So that was in the news. And one more thing to finish off our show, because I feel like I've gotten behind on the world pet news for you all. And I know you love it. So here's an interesting one. And you Florida people, you better be listening to this one. This is a weird one, and it could happen to you. Okay, so ospreys, you know those birds, right? Ospreys, they're like, sort of like mini eagles, if you will. They're similar. They're marine, and they fish, and they're white with a little bit of gray and black feathers sometimes. And they nest on these big boxes that people build for them out on buoys in the ocean, and that's to help them regain their numbers. They nest in trees as well, and they are amazing. And they sometimes nest on roofs. In fact, when my mom lived in Florida, there was one nesting on the house two doors down. And my dad wasn't really impressed, actually, because they're noisy birds, ospreys. And when they mate, which they do every year, the female will insist that the male prove himself to her. And he must prove himself to her by nest building. Yes, of course, got to build a good house. I'm not going to bring kids into the world with no home. But also by providing fish. And what he does is he fishes, and then he brings the fish back to her. And she will either accept the fish or discard the fish if she doesn't like it. And so if the fish is maybe not the type she likes, or not big enough, or she's just trying to make her point that he has to bring more. I'm not really sure what's going on in her mind, but oftentimes he will bring a fish and she will not accept it, and she will complain and he will complain, and they will talk to each other, and it goes on and on and on. And then the fish gets flung somewhere, somebody's balcony or backyard or roof, to rot and stink, or he picks it up again. He tries again with the fish, and the whole thing is really loud and actually really amazing to watch. But my dad was not a fan of this morning ritual that was going on two doors down. But the fish drop. So what happened? And it could have been accidental, because we're not really in mating season anymore. But it could have been that for whatever reason, the osprey decided it did not like the fish that it was carrying in its talons. You know, they scoop them up with their feet and then they, with their claws, and then they fly to somewhere and then they put it down and eat it. So he's flying along, this osprey, with his fish, and he drops it. But the problem is he drops it on live wires. And it starts a fire. And right now, we got a lot of fires in Canada. We got fires in the middle of our province. We got fires in the north. And we got fires in my province, in Alberta and BC, British Columbia, where I live, just up from Seattle. We got fires. And the last thing we need is another fire. And when an osprey drops a fish on a wire and it ignites in a forest where no one's around, oh my goodness, that's a problem. But what a fluke freak event. Can you imagine? I mean, the odds of that happening and yet it did. So we got to figure that out. We got to be careful. I know birds are responsible, not because they want to be, but responsible for a lot of airplane accidents too. So I think there's some sorting to be done. We got the avian flu happening. We got birds causing forest fires. We've got birds dying in horrible numbers because of our light pollution. And then we got this thing. So, and airplane problems. We need to get our act together with how we deal with the sky, because right now we're making it very difficult for the birds. And I know there's always these articles, oh, where have all the birds gone? And out where I live, I don't really see it because we have so many birds here, multiple species and migrating birds, and just the trees are full of them. Their music in the morning is incredible. The bird song is beautiful. I don't want to lose the birds. So we got to get our act together when it comes to this, because really, we could have lights, street lights that point down, not up. There's no reason for them to point up. It's wasting our electricity. It's not efficient. And why are we lighting the sky? We don't need to do that. We can do a lot to make our cities safer for birds. One time, I was at the pier, and a seagull, I was actually pondering a question. I was wondering if someone close to me was going to get better or not. And I kind of threw it out to the universe. I kind of said, give me a sign. Is this going to be a good outcome? And right then, a seagull flew over. It was pretty fluky. And I saw him fly down to the river and scoop up a little fish. And I thought, oh, well, that's a good outcome. I guess it's going to be a good outcome. And I start overthinking it. I'm like, well, not for the fish, though. So is this a good outcome or is this a bad outcome? I'm thinking about this a while, watching the bird fly. And then he drops the fish about 50 feet from me on the pier. And I'm thinking, oh, no, well, is that a good outcome? Like, will my friend be okay? I mean, I asked the universe this question, and now I got this bird catching a fish, and now the fish is dropped from the sky. And then as the fish is sort of flailing around on the deck, this woman comes out of nowhere, grabs the fish, and runs to the river and puts it into the water, and the fish swims away. So I decided that my friend was going to have some up and downs, but that the outcome was probably going to be good. And in the end, that is exactly what happened. But I don't know. Sometimes you can be in the right place at the right time, like me with that fish and that woman who saved it. And sometimes you can be in the wrong place at the wrong time, like that one that started a fire. So one more thing I want to touch on before we go today. Justin Timberlake, you all know him.
Yeah.
Well, he has just come out recently saying that he's been really struggling, battling Lyme disease. And I think, you know, it's good when a celebrity actually comes out with something like this because it draws attention to it. Where I live, it's not really a big problem. But in Ontario, so closer to New York State, it's a huge problem in the middle of the country. And sometimes people here don't realize it. They go travel there. They get it. They don't know they've got it. They come home. Maybe they even bring the little critter home with them to spread it here. I don't know. But they come home and they're sick and they go undiagnosed, sometimes for a long time. And the thing about Lyme disease is if you see a tick on you and you get rid of it before it bites you, you don't really have to worry much. You really don't. But if it's already in you, you need to go get medical help. You need to be tested. Because if you did contract Lyme disease and you treat it right away, it's pretty simple, they say. Most people get over it really easily. Not a big deal. I believe it's antibiotics. Not a big deal. And you're done. But if you don't, then you get what's called chronic Lyme disease. And that can go on for years and years and years and become a huge problem. Total lethargy, and like you're tired all the time, you're fatigued, you can't move, pain, discomfort. And that apparently is what Justin Timberlake is dealing with. So I feel bad for the guy, and I just want to make sure my listeners are taking precautions. So if you live in an area with Lyme, then you've probably got your dogs, your pets on some kind of preventative. But that doesn't mean you can't get it. But also, if you don't have them on a preventative, you need to be grooming and brushing and checking them over. Well, anyway, even if you have got them on a preventative, every time you go for a walk in an area or outside in brush or woods or forest or grass or parks or anywhere where a little tick could be hiding, falling off a squirrel or a rat or a rabbit or a mouse or anything, right? That's how they travel, animal to animal. Falls off after it's gorged itself, lives in the woods for a while, and when it's hungry again, it looks for another host. You, your ankles, your dog, your cat. So you gotta be really careful. It's a good idea not to go out in a bikini when you're walking in the woods, right? Don't give them a lot of opportunity. Wear long pants and a long shirt and a hat. Now, as I say that, if you know me, you know that I almost never do that. So bad on me. I like the sun. I'm always wearing less than I should when it comes to Lyme. But I also live in an area that doesn't really have it. And I do check my animals over and I do brush them all the time. And I do keep them clipped very short so I can make sure to see whatever's going on there, right? I'm really on it. And I'm on it with the preventatives that I need for my area, the once a month dose of whatever and once every 2 weeks. And, you know, so my animals don't have worms or fleas or parasites, but I'm still vigilant. And if I were to travel with them, I'd be even more vigilant. So you definitely want to be taking precautions, brushing them, cleaning them, keeping them groomed, keeping them short-haired if you can. And yourself, you know, do a check. If you spent a weekend camping, look at yourself. Get someone else to look at your back, your neck, the backs of your legs. Make sure you don't have any tick bites that you didn't even notice. Now, if you're listening to me from Long Island, you're sitting there right now nodding because you've had all kinds of these problems for a long time. You go to the beach and you come home with these weird little, and of course, you check each other over and you clean it all up and you make sure it's okay. So it's kind of a real easy thing to just say, oh, whatever, it's just a bite. Oh, it was just a tick. I'll be fine. And you might be fine for 5 or 6 or 10 days. You might. You might have even got lucky and been bitten by a tick that doesn't have Lyme disease, quite possibly. But on the other hand, if you're not lucky, time is of the essence. So the quicker you figure it out, you get the test, you find out, you get the treatment, you'll get over it, no problem. So don't delay. Oh, and if you do find a tick on a dog or a cat, and you can get your dog or cat to the vet for them to remove it, that's even better because we're really trying to find out more about this disease and where it's spreading and who has it and what kind of ticks and all this sort of stuff. So they will put that little critter in a little pill jar and they will send it away and it will contribute to the study. So we really want the little, if you've got a tick bite and a tick that you can send in for diagnostics, bring it to your vet because they'll help get to the bottom of this and we'll learn more and then we'll all be safer. Okay, I said I was finishing the show, but I got one more thing to add. And this is about e-bikes. Okay, so why is a pet show host, animal expert, talking about e-bikes? Well, I do want to try one. I really do. I haven't tried one yet, but I've noticed because I'm living in the country now and when I go to the city of Vancouver, the whole city is full of bike paths. Same with Toronto. I was there recently. Big, beautiful bike paths. And I loved it. It's awesome. But I'm not quite used to it. So I tend to think as a pedestrian that I'm the person, you know, cars should avoid me, right? If I'm walking out of a building, I don't right away think, oh, is this a bike path? I automatically assume it's a sidewalk and I step onto it. So I had a few people yell at me recently when I was in Vancouver, get out of the way, it's a bike path, you know, this kind of thing. Okay, I think I'm better now. But mostly I hear the bikes. I do. I hear them coming and I get out of their way. I'm on a bike path. Very obvious. Except when it's an e-bike. When it's an e-bike, I don't hear anything. And they're way faster than the other bikes. So I was thinking about that. Didn't want to bring it up on my show because it has nothing to do with animals. And then last week, a man ends up in the hospital. His wife, fortunately, was there too. The two of them were on e-bikes in the forest, la 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 la, having a lovely day in Creston, BC, beautiful place. And unfortunately, because the bikes are so fast and so quiet, two things, right? Quiet and fast. They snuck up, the husband did, he was in the lead, and he snuck up on a mama bear with cubs by accident. Yep. So he got mauled. And lucky for them, they got out of there and he got to the hospital and he's going to recover. But it's a big, big lesson. If you're driving an e-bike out in nature, put some bells on that thing. Do something to make some noise. Carry some change in your pocket, an empty pop can with coins in it or rocks in it. So it digga, 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 digga. You do not want to startle a bear. it will not be good for you. So e-bike riders, beware of that. Make yourselves noisy, please. All right, everybody. From Animal Party and Pet Life Radio, ciao, meow. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.